October the 7th, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com/mirajspeaks.com and you will be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. La ilaha will bring man out of hell. And we believe that if they are sincere, God will one day bless them to see clearly. Prophet Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, has said that as long as you hold on to the one God, eventually that belief will deliver you even though you are in hell. Human nature, the base that supports everything else. Nature appreciates it for its whole function and role. Do not blame it for deviation. The natural conscience of man is excellent. God says that he has made man in the most excellent mold or form. Muslims reject the idea that human nature is gross matter, a situation for sin. We see the human nature as the base that supports everything else. Nature should be appreciated for its whole function and role and should not be blamed for deviation. Man has a very special nature that is human. He is not only Muslim, but he is also human. He is man. If some display behavior that is characteristic of a snake, that person is out of that true nature because their specific nature form is man. And the same applies to any other creature. So if we imitate any other creature in our behavior, then we are stepping outside of our natural form, which is man. No one should say that nature is bad just because some man acts like a dog. They should say that nature is good, but some men are confused, acting outside of their true nature. If a dog acts like a dog in its nature, we don't say that the dog is bad, nor do we say that nature is bad, because we expect the dog to act in the form of a dog. But if man acts like a dog, there are some ignorant scientists who say nature is bad. A scientist should be the last one to make such a statement. He should understand the difference. Nature should be appreciated for its whole function and role and should not be blamed for deviation. Al-Islam brings peace to our hearts and to our souls. It reconciles the spiritual and worldly life within us. Nature is not bad. It is excellent because of man's free will, and free will copy forms that are not his own. If he is denied the right kind of learning environment, God has given us great freedom. but it is also a great risk, and it puts the moral burden on society to see that the circumstances are good for the evolution of the creature that God has made. So the religion of Al-Islam brings peace to our hearts and to our souls. It reconciles the spiritual and worldly life within us. It brings unity so that we are not circular in one part of our soul and spiritual in another part, causing war within our own soul against ourselves. So nature is excellent. Revelation comes and man finds his purpose. Some people run worldly reality to build a spiritual reality. But tells us in the Holy Quran, it is God who has set down the book in truth and the balance by which to weigh conduct. Hell, some people run from the worldly reality of their form to build a spiritual reality, and some run from the spiritual reality of their form to build a worldly and material reality. Such people are in trouble. But the Muslim should be united. His life should be reconciled. He should be at peace within himself, and most of all, at peace with his nature. Though nature is excellent, and it is the beginning place if we expect our lives to grow or develop, it is not enough. It is not until revelation comes that man really finds his purpose on this earth. His purpose in the universe and his true satisfaction in his heart and soul. If anyone doubts that nature is a good base for establishing excellence for man in society, then they should look at Prophet Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad, a life of excellence. So you have in the messenger of God a beautiful pattern of conduct for anyone whose hope is in God and the final day. So when we study the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, we find that he was excellent in his nature even before he was given the mission of prophecy and revelation. He was admired and trusted by his countrymen. Even before God mentioned him, they called him the honest one, the trustworthy one, translated Al-Amin in Arabic. People saw something in him that made them feel that whatever he would say would be for the good of all that everyone could accept. Since we know that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was already established in the excellence of nature before he received revelation, that speaks for the religion being after the very nature in which God created man. Deen al-Fitra. If anyone doubts that nature is the good base for establishing excellence for man in society, then they should look at Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. In him we see that he was trustworthy and morally upright. He refused to worship more than one God, even though all of his countrymen were bowing down to idols. The Quran made Muhammad a new man, a leader for his people. Even though Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was excellent in his nature, admiring by his countrymen, and trusted by everybody, still he was unhappy. In his moment of heaviness of heart, he would go to the cave of Hijra at the top of the mountain called Juba al-Nur, Mountain of the Light, which is on the outskirts of the city Mecca. Then in the opening of the cave would he sit and think on the condition of his people, the condition of the world, and in his soul he would cry out to God. And it was there that God responded to him and gave him the first revelation of the Quran. It was with revelation that Prophet Muhammad became the messenger of God, a new man, a leader for his people and for all people. Revelation enabled him to lead his people out of darkness and ignorance into moral excellence, knowledge and the sciences, ethical life, strong community life, economic principles, political principles, etc. A world was formed, and it became the most dynamic society in the world at that time. Even today, scientists and historians marvel who study what took place during his life and mission. They admit that no other person has been able to accomplish so much in such a short span of time. He turned his people around from an idolatrous, a scattered, disunited, warring people of small functions of gangs and tribes, into one united community under God. To tell the people that their nature is bad hinders and burdens them unnecessarily. Islam encourages us to embrace nature's excellence. Let us understand the excellence of nature. Let us also understand that God rewards us for obeying the excellence of our nature. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was rewarded to be the model for all men because he obeyed the excellence of his nature. In this society, it is very important for Muslims to know that God approves of human nature. There is no ritual or exercise in our religion to train, strengthen, or prepare us to disengage our life from our nature. On the contrary, they are influences, teachings, etc., to encourage us to embrace, to accept, to appreciate, and to understand that our nature is excellent. Perversion, deviation from man, dreaming outside of nature. It is the unnatural condition in the mind of man that has led to the extreme kinds of deviation we have in the behavior of man. If you must die, then die to your own foolishness and not to the nature in which God created you. If someone tells you your nature is bad, you should ask, if I'm bad by nature, what is the use of trying to be good? It is natural for people to want to be themselves. God made us that way. So if you give something or somebody an ideology or philosophy or the theology that says to them that their nature is bad, then you are telling them if you want to be good, you will never be yourself. Actually, you are telling them that they have to go outside the nature in which God created them if they are to be good. It is the unnatural condition in the mind of man that has led to man extreme kinds of deviation we have in the behavior of man on this earth. God did not create this situation for man to go to the extremes that he goes in, being a deviant, a pervert, or some kind of weird creature. God did not create a situation for extreme behavior in a deviant line or the deviant direction. It was man experimenting, dreaming, and acting outside of the voice, if his good nature, that brought him to such a conclusion, which brought about the introduction of the false ideas that says man must be free. Man must free himself from his nature. Such teachings say that man must first die to his own nature. The truth is that if you must die, then die to your own foolishness and not to the nature in which God created you. And once that happens, then you can live in the truth. Reason and concern, the two important parts of human life. Noah's flood says concern can flood life out without reason. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 11, Noah's flood. Genesis 6, 11, Noah's flood. So the story of Noah in the Bible, also the Quran, the sacred book of the Muslim, the human being, is a creation of reason and a creature of concern. These are two important parts of human life. We can think, reason, question, examine, analyze things, and look for how to improve things by this examination of the thing. But we also are creatures of concern. Sometimes we give our life to concern so much and not enough to reason, and to those concerns flood the life out. And the whole society begins to be supported by concern and not by reason and good sense. So that's what Noah's flood. We have a flood going on now. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 13 to 18. One blast, resurrection. Dead resurrected with the one blast. Withered, symbolic of one blast that will stand the dead up. So we have many rak'ahs or many sections of prayer. But there is a prayer that we say in the month of Ramadan, and it is finished with one rak'ah. Only one section. We say two sections and we sit down. We stand up for the third section and we pray one rak'ah, and we finish it. Scripture said that the dead will be resurrected and they will be awakened with three blasts. So God says there is going to come a time when only the one blast that will stand and the dead up. And that is what I'm giving you now, the one blast that will stand the dead up. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 13 to 18, one blast resurrection. Dead resurrected with one blast. Wither, symbolic of the one blast that will stand the dead up. So we have many rak'ahs in prayers. We have many sections of prayer. But there is a prayer that we say in the month of Ramadan, and it finishes with one rak'ah. Only one section finishes it. We say two sections, then we sit down, and we stand up for a third section, and we pray one rak'ah, and we finish it. So scripture says that the dead will be resurrected, and they will be awakened with three blasts. But God said there is going to come a time when only one blast will stand the dead up. And that is what I'm giving you now. The one blast that will stand the dead up. All you have to do is keep your interest focused. Stay clear. Keep that in mind and never forget any time or any day you are living. Never forget that your first interest is supposed to be to your maker who created you in everything. Wake up with it and go to bed with it. And I guarantee you that you will not need any more rak'ahs to keep you standing. I'm not telling you to change the prayers. God obligates us with revelation. Our holy book is our guidance. But I'm telling you that will wake us up. So the Quran, Surah 69, Ayah 17, eight bears throne. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 75 and 40 and 7. Hold up throne means the equal rule of God. They support it without question, without allowing their own thoughts to come into the picture. Wings are used to lift up. Every time we make sajda, the believer makes ascension. Two wings symbolic of the two rakas sajda. Three wings symbolic of the tree of the three rakas maghrib. Four wings symbolic of the four rakas surah, asa, and isha. So the Quran surah 69 ayat 17:8 holds up. Two hands, knees, toes, forehead, nose equals eight. So when you make your rakas, you make eight sajda, meaning we want the throne of ours to be successful too. So when you make surah, asa, isha, you make four rakas with eight sajdas. So what is the throne? It means that the rule man wants to preserve the rule that he has over the family, town, nation. If you want to preserve the rule, then break the day up for times of prayer. If you want to hold up the throne, interrupt that business. Look how successful the Muslims were under the Prophet. They became the greatest society on earth. They led other societies back to civilization. Asa, Laylatul Qadr, clock of God and man. The Quran, Surah 70, Ayat 4. One day with God is like 50,000 years. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayat 48. One day with God is as 1,000 years. The Quran, Surah 79, Ayat 42. When is the hour time? Time salat. When is the hour time? Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wait until he comes with his clock. And what is the clock? It is a timepiece. There are two realities referring to here in that saying in the Quran. One reality is the reality that all of us know. We know timepiece in the world of man. That watch I am wearing now, the alarm clock I carry with me sometimes on my trips, or the clock on my wall at home. All of these timepieces are the clocks or the timepieces of man. But God says, wait until he comes with his timepiece, with his siyah. I know he knows what salat means, because I went to class and we had to learn siyah in the same class. God doesn't use a foreign term that he has to explain to us that this means a watch, clock, something that keeps time. He uses the most common language for timepiece in the Arabic language is siyat. And that is the one he uses. Wait until God comes with his siyat. Siyat, A-C-A. This is in scripture that came before. Not just in our scripture, that lets you know right now what we are aiming at. The direction now is to show us the world as affected by man and to show us the world as planned by God. So the movement of natural forces is the clock of God, and the man-made orchestrated forces in the clock of man. Both have movement, both have an object, a destiny, an end, an aim, and both of movements. And there is no time without movement. Time has referred to movement, even for a thing that is dead. When you speak of time for it, you are talking about movement, how it has been affected by years, how it has deteriorated, or how it has been affected during the period of time, how corrosion has affected it. So you can measure its age, a tree. How many rings are formed, you can measure the age. Isn't it wonderful how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a tree so that if you cut it, you can see its age right there as though he wrote it in a letter? In numbers, just count the rings. Every ring, a new ring, stars. Focus of nature of bringing in the world God wants. So these are the two timepieces. And what is more important is not to know about the two timepieces. The important thing to know is that God is not depending upon the world and its leaders to bring in the world that he wants for people. Natural forces are creating to usher in the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for all people. Isn't it a wonderful God? The loving, generous, and merciful God to give man an invitation to work for him, be his servant, to bring in his world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already created the forces of nature that are going to bring in his world. But he wants to share the great celebration. Trees, rocks, stones, dogs, cats, and lions, and elephants, they can't come to the party. They don't have the consciousness to come to the party. So God wants his human creation to come to the party and join him in the great celebration of the victory to come. Isn't it wonderful? He created man and jinn to share in the celebration. If they would only join the effort, then they will be welcome to the party. Only his workers are welcome. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because those who are not his workers, they are turned off, and they are turned only on the temporary things. In expedient enjoyment that comes in and goes out and see no more things. So this is a great day we're living in. God's clock and the world's clock, or God's timepiece and the world's timepiece. Please indicate that the world timepiece is explained by man's plan based upon his recognition of his work, but not the work of God. The clock, the timepiece of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is based upon or explained upon our recognition of the order of the natural universe, how God has made this universe to bear or to operate upon his will and his plan for mankind. So we really need to write volumes on science or scientific theories. This also includes our perception of the life and the nature of the universe itself. Some of you are getting this, but it is too much for a lot of you. If it is easy, if you don't strain the mind too much. I saw a guy, he couldn't get his car started. He was just pressing on the accelerator and he flooded the thing out. Another man came and took the top off the carburetor and let some air get in there. And he went and started it up. And he's ready to go. Don't strain too hard. Your mind will damage the equipment you're using. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the two realities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, man's time with God is one day as compared to God. It is like 1,000 years of man's time. So one day in God's time is like 1,000 years in man's time. So man is looking at the one day clock that is 24 hours. And on God's clock, a whole 1,000 years is in that one day. So reasoning in that body of language, we would say then that in 100,000 years, man has to take rest. Because in his 24 hours, he takes a rest every night. So in 100 years, man is going to active. Man is going to act, to be an active part of that time, and he is going to be resting part of that time. The Quran descended in the night and the time. Its duration comes down to man is as 50,000 years, not 1,000 years, 50,000 years. Now, I can't keep you with me, so I'm not going to try to take you down that road. I'm just going to tell you what it is at the end of that road, the exact sciences. So the Quran's purpose is to bring man to the exact science. 50,000 years relates to America's 50 states. The purpose of the revelation of the Quran was to bring within man's reach or part in his hands that which he would need to arrive at the exact science. And that is exactly what happened. It is no accident, or it is not without purpose, that these United States begin with 13 colonies. And then the United States came into being, and those colonies came under a different political order, and they grew to be 48 states and stayed that way for a long time and found it necessary so that their own growth as a nation communicated the best to those of vision and eyes to see. They changed from 48 to 50 states. And aren't we a scientific nation now? So we have many references to the two movement, the movement of man in his own thinking or in his own pride, and the movement of the natural world, focus. And then there is a third movement, the movement of God's plan, the word of God, revelation. God knows that the natural forces were created to bring us to him eventually. We ought to come to him. He doesn't have to worry about that. That is why when we die, they say, Inna illahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. Once again, Inna illahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. Translated, surely to Allah we belong, to him, and to him we are returning. You are finished. If you have gone astray, you are not going to stray anymore. You are dead now. You are not going anywhere. On you, on your own, you have joined the natural system that Allah has created to obey his will. Isn't this wonderful? This is so wonderful to be seen consciously in the new reality. I wouldn't give anything for this. This is the life. The Quran, Surah 70, Ayat 4, a day as 50,000 years. Laylatul Qadra is not talking about what has manifested. It is talking about what can manifest. So it's pronounced Laylatul Qadra, not Qadira. So it is the capacity potential. The capacity is seen in the Quran. The capacity is seen in Muhammad, present, the peace be upon him. The capacity is seen in established Ummah. So the potential for that capacity is coming down in the month of Ramadan. It is just starting, but it is going to manifest Muhammad, present, the peace be upon him. He had to receive it so he could be born. It is going to manifest Muhammad, present, the peace be upon him, and it is going to manifest the established Ummah. And it is coming down as 50,000 years. So day as 50,000 years is community enlightenment based upon the five senses. The Islamic community enlightenment based upon the five senses of man is going to have to reach Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, as though it takes 50,000 years. It is much longer than that. It should say 50,000 light years in new language. Now, in this world, it should say 50,000 light years. It is coming from the essence of concern of creation. The essence of creation, the essence of the universe, before even the universe had come to its capacity. It was nothing but potential. It is coming from that distance to reach Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in his five senses. His brain is just not capable of carrying this. He is going to have to entrust it to his heart. And in time, it will communicate from soul to his brain. And they will get it as a slow rain. 1,000 years therein descends, and the angels and the Holy Spirit. The angels are not on their own. The Holy Spirit is not on its own. With the permission of their Lord from every order or command. Not one command up here and command down there, peace, salam. Because this is Kasherun min Asira, Kasherun min Asfashira. Once again, Kasherun min Asfashira. Translated, it is better than 1,000 years. How can there be but peace when the operate of love and peace is in the whole working? It is the center of the whole workings, love and peace. So that is the night of power. And I was not with them. And I think they are going to have it again tonight or last night. It was the 27th. Now that you can have it on the 29th. And on any odd night, the 27th was last night. So I'm pretty sure the 27th was last night, not the 29th. It was the 29th. The next day is Eid. Allah's time light bulb idols. So the Quran, Surah 70, Ayat 4, Allah day as 50,000 years. The Quran, Surah 87, Ayat 9, think it is beneficial. 2 Peter 3:8, day with God is as 1,000 years. So light years with God is time it takes to materialize an idea. The expression light years was introduced by the scientists and the stars, the bodies in the sky. They knew the scripture when God said 1,000 years of your time, it may be like 1 year with God. So when they talk about distances and miles, after a while, their perception of time, measurement, becomes so burdensome. So when you're talking about distances of planets and galaxies from one another, to make it easy, they say light years. So where did they get that language from? Light years. Light is also wisdom and knowledge. So to understand it outside of this science borrows it from religious language. In fact, they borrowed most of what they have from religious language. That expression, light years, it helps us understand how to see a year with God in comparison with a year within man. So man bears his time measurement on movement of physical things, objects, right? So the sun is a physical object, and it starts in the morning, draws, dawn goes and sets, and that is a certain amount of time. And when it comes back and shows again, it is one day, 24 hours roughly. So this is how man measures time. And we survived one winter, and now we're ready for spring and good times and works. So the comfortable temperatures are going to end. and we will start winter all over again, right? So this is a year, right? But look what has happened. These are physical pictures of changes in the man's life, right? But what about an idea? How long is it takes and to materialize to bring about the changes which that idea has the potential to do? That is a light year with God. So rainbow bends, but you see light going straight. It is a perfect picture for explaining how ideas work. One idea lights up the area for you to see other ideas. It depends on how clear the idea is. If it is too obscure, it is not going to give you much light. It is not going to show you too many things. But the more transparent it is, the better. But in this instance, you are not talking about light. People think light is white. No. A heated up piece of substance will turn white. Certain substance won't even burn white. This particle substance burn and heat up white. But light is not white. If it was white, you could not see. Pure light is transparent. And another thing that is good to observe about light, they say, and I think Einstein is responsible for this, the whole universe bends, and even light bends because matter, the whole universe bends. Everything bends. But when you see clouds separating and permit small openings after darkness and a heavy rain, you see colors bending. That is the rainbow. But you see light going straight. Light does not bend. It goes straight. Have you ever seen and became a beam coming down through the clouds? They come perfectly straight. They are not bent. They don't move. The Quran, Surah 71, Ayah 13. What's the matter with them? They are not respond to God. So the Lord is inside me as well as will of God. I have spirit of God in me, but also God's will is in everything he created. So God's will is in me too. And God's will is what eventually overcomes my will. So that my Lord in me, that's the will of God in me. And there is also my own desires in me to be better. There is my desire in me to achieve more in goodness and righteousness and justice. That movement in me is also the movement brought me back to my Lord. So my Lord is evolving me, isn't he? My Lord is evolving me, and he is in me as his will. So you are not asked to believe in a God that is not really a part of your reality. So that's why the question is asked, what is wrong with you that you don't want to believe in your Lord? We are not asking you to believe in something that is not a part of your own reality. You are asked to believe in something that is a part of your own reality, your own life forces, and supported by this Lord. Your own life forces guided by God or by the Lord. Your excellence in the will of the Lord and your excellence in the work of the Lord. So how come you don't believe in the Lord when he's working right inside of you? God in us, the will of God in us, the Lord our God, Lord God in us, in his will and plan for us, the Lord. So the function of God, as long as Lord functions in the human being, as a function in the human being and in everything that he has created and evolved. But in us, more so in us, more so because that reality can drown or draw in our excellence as it has already done. It has drawn in the intellect of the great prophets and us now. So it has drawn in the intellect this reality, this real perception of God, also in my workings, in the workings of my own creation. There is a working of God, and I can see him in the role of Lord in my perception of my own evolution, of my own progress as a human being, trying to be better all the time. Quran Surah 71, Ayah 17, man created like a plant. So God says he has created the human being like a plant. Let's look at a plant. This is knowledge that some of you take lightly. We have a term in this society, knowledge, organic. It has one meaning for you and another meaning that you don't get. One meaning, you know, it is from plant life, natural life. But organic means for them what I'm going to explain from that which is in the Quran. They get it from the Quran and they have it in their society. If you get a big dictionary, you'll find the meaning, organic. This particular interest for the term organic, it is not the ordinary dictionary. It is not in the ordinary dictionary. 1C, God says, he created us like a plant. It begins with a seed, doesn't it? And the seed is something that seemed dead, isn't it? The seed appears to be dead. You don't take a fresh seed and plant it, dry out, becomes like dead. Then you plant it, right? So you plant the seed and then the right environment, the elements of the earth, moisture, the right environment causes the seed to swell. It's the moisture that causes it to swell. And it swells, and it is fed from the environment that it is put in. And it first forms a shoot, and it comes up, but at the same time, it anchors, or roots are going down. The thing is anchoring itself in the earth and shooting out at the same time. So it's not shooting up without being anchored. It is not building up with no base or no security, like a lot of you who go into these businesses overnight and is gone. No roots, no anchor, no security. Second root, stem. The plant comes up from the root and then the stem and then branch. If it is a flower plant, It will bud and have a flower. And then at the stage when it is flowered, when the flower, it is able to reproduce itself. Is that right? How beautiful that is. Now, look at the human being. And let's quickly compare this symbol, the human being, in order to grow. He should have human spirituality. If you are dry of human spirituality, you have no human sensitivity. You're like a seed that's not getting moisture, and you stay dead. But if the human sentiment is allowed to form and touch that seed, the seed is like the human heart, you see. The water is soft like human nature. So if we allow our hearts to get whole, the spiritual teachings, sentiment teachings that inspires, encourages the human goodness in the human being, purity, moral cleanliness, you will grow because of the water softness. Water is soft. Water is not hard. If you just touch it, it quivers to bring it out, the true human essence of the person. You need spirituality. Then the person can grow. Born holds all the water. Next comes the knowledge for man of how to establish himself in his environment. But if he don't establish first some moral identity, some human content, then what you will build will be a thorn. And a thorn doesn't even share its life, structure. And it's not nice to touch. You have to be careful around it. You can get stuck and picked by it. And it's so selfish, it holds up all the water. It goes where there is nothing and eats up everything from around it, right? So you don't find those trees growing where there is not a lot of abundance of water. They go where there is hardly no water. And that's why you find that thorn bush growing there is hardly no water. So its nature is to hoard the water. It takes it in and hoards it. It has thorns that take it from the air. It draws all the moisture out of this dry air and roots trying to get it from below. Now, if you come to try and get the water, it has hoarded, is in there, and it has those thorns ready to stick you. But if the human grows properly, he comes into this structure kind of life, having the roots firm in the earth. The stem is anchored there, so it's strongly anchored in the ground. And then the branches can come on because there is strength now below. So this is anchoring structures can support branches. The branches grows on it, and lastly, the flower that can part branches. The branches come on, and they provide resting place and shade for other creatures. It is doing a service, isn't it? Providing shade for other creatures and a resting for creatures that fly in the air. It won't fall off. It rests on a limb. For flower, lastly, the flower comes the fourth part. One root, two trunk, three branch, four flower. Beauty, even ugly flowers, allow reproduction. Water softness, human nature. So the flower comes, and then reproduction is possible from the softness of human nature. Life is made possible from a dead seed, and then the dead seed gets growth, and because it gives itself and beauty, it is able to reproduce itself. Even the ugly flower is beautiful. Is that right? The ugliest flower you've ever seen is beautiful. I haven't seen an ugly flower, to tell you the truth. Look at the human being now. Look at yourself standing. You can imagine yourself, your arms like branches, right? Your feet are grounded down, and there are your arms like branches, and look at your head. Doesn't it show the kind of involved and complicated design that you see in a flower? In your body, you see the simple design. You see the plant and its structure. If your face, you see the complex design that you see in a flower, right? So where will your reproduction come from? Right up here, baby, the mind. if you don't get germinated seeds, ideas up there, there's no reproduction. So this is beautiful. The structure is beautiful. It needs to hold up the senses. But the senses have to mature because it is all through the senses that you will be reproduced. You have to learn the knowledge. The intellect must learn what has developed here. It has to study what has developed here. It has to study the nature of the growth. And in learning on how human beings grow, how to develop, then you can reproduce that. It doesn't come without God's help. So the Quran Surah 73, Ayah 1 to 3, stand to pray. The Quran Surah 74, 1 to 3, O you in metal arrays, warn. The Quran Surah 69, Ayah 70, duty to remind. The Quran Surah 62, Ayat 9 to 10, when the call is made, leave off business. Salakallahu Ladeen, we will continue this tomorrow, and we will start right with the Quran Surah 62, Ayat 9 to 10. When the call is made, leave off business. Tonight, I am your host, Elihu Bey. And I thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Marat Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And I thank you. May God guide you, guide us, and have mercy on us, and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. Thank you.